to go?
Oh,
Yes.
Paulo, we're just running a minute late, so we're just waiting for our principal to connect. They will be connecting in a minute.
They've just connected now, Chair. Good morning, Chairperson.
Good morning, Sustombi. Are members all good to go?
I think so, Chair.
Oh, okay. Colleagues, good morning and welcome to our meeting this morning on a briefing by National
Recording in
Treatment
progress.
Auditor General on medical legal costs, matters related to the Department of Health. We're going to take the presentation from AG and then take questions after. This is the new matter, which has served in some portfolio committee meetings and in the NCOP, and our attention was drawn to it due to the escalations and the failure to meet the targets which the department had set for itself, and it's a ever-increasing bill. Insofar as department is concerned and is raising attention and the material effect which it may have on the financial position of the department. So AG will brief us on it and then we will take the next steps if they are so required, but it was necessary for us to get a brief and an understanding on it. So AG, good morning. Welcome to you. You will introduce the team that is here, and then you will take us through the presentation. So colleagues, good morning and welcome. AG, over to you.
Good morning, Honorable Chairperson. Good morning, Honorable Members. Is Andries Segeto. I am the Head of Portfolio from the Office of the Auditor General, delegated by the Auditor General upon the request from the members of SCOPA to come and brief the portfolio committee. Honorable Chair, Honorable Members, I will be supported by some of our team members that are ordinarily tasked with dealing with the audit and the matters of the health portfolio. So I'll ask them just to switch on their cameras as I call out their names with your permission and indulgence, obviously, Honorable Chairperson. First and foremost, I am supported by Ms. Mule Tipe, who is the engagement manager on the audit. She's responsible for conducting the audit of the national department as well as some of the national entities. She also is the coordinator from the Office of the AG's point of view of the sector. Therefore, meaning even though there might be respective or specific auditors in the respective provinces that will give you feedback about, that she usually coordinates the efforts just to make sure that from a sector point of view, that we are covering all the transversal issues and making sure that we focus on the key matters that matter in the sector. Hi, Mule. And then, Honorable Chair, I am also joined by Ms. Nelly Siwe Mhlongo. Nelly is the acting business unit leader from National D. As you would recall, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members, the Office of the AG is structured in such a way that to make sure that the work is taken care of in bite-sized chunks, that we have different units taking care of different portfolios. So National D within the Office of the AG is the unit that takes care of, amongst others, the health portfolio. Nelly? Thank you, Ms. Mhlongo, Mrs. Mhlongo. Okay, thank you, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members. So without further ado, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members, we were requested, as outlined earlier, to come and brief the committee on the medical legal claims. Honorable Chair, Honorable Members, just by way of a bit of background, I'll just create some context with regard to how we arrived where we are and some of the work that we would have performed on this particular topic. And then the team will take us through the detailed presentation and the detailed briefing. Honorable Chair, Honorable Members, first and foremost, also, I forgot to say, let me thank the chairperson and the members also for the opportunity to come and engage on this particular matter. From our point of view as Office of the AG, we always relish these opportunities to come and engage oversight structures such as yourself, because we do appreciate that all of us have got quite a significant role to play in the accountability ecosystem. I will also, as I do my opening and introductory remarks, maybe ask that the team project the briefing note. And for the purpose of my opening remarks, I am now on page number 3 of the briefing note, where we talk about the accountability ecosystem. Honorable Chair, honorable members, you would have noted as part of our recent deliberations and presentations in the public domain that the Auditor General herself has been quite vocal and always starting off our discussions wherever we are and wherever we engage and whichever level we communicate. That's page number 3, please, that we make sure that we remind all our stakeholders that we engage on these various platforms, that all of us have got a significant role to play in whatever shape or form in the roles and responsibilities that we occupy to make sure that we pull our weight and play our role in terms of the accountability ecosystem. So, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members, the accountability ecosystem was basically just a model that was developed by the Office of the AG, unpacking all the critical role players that are required to make sure that we shift the culture and the impact of the public sector to a public sector and a culture to which is accountable, that is transparent, and that is actually working for its citizens. So you'll see it starts off right on the left with the officials who are ordinarily tasked with executing the mandate of their respective portfolios or departments or institutions. So they are the implementers, making sure that things on the ground are supposed to be happening in the manner in which it was intended. Senior management, obviously overseeing the efforts of all the colleagues who are executing. And then I always make a lighthearted comment, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members, by saying, if you actually look at this particular illustration, you'll see that all the role players have got a platform. But you'll see the accounting officer, he or she, and the accounting authorities, they are standing sort of on a slope where they have to extend one hand to the executive authority and the other hand to the management or the administration. So I always make a lighthearted comment by saying they've got the unenviable role of making sure that the strategic direction and the leadership of the executive authority that finds expression and life in terms of the work that is being executed and being done on a daily basis. I think it's just by coincidence looking at the number of people or number of role players on the left-hand side, but I always make a lighthearted comment around that. But not discounting the very important role that the executive, that the accounting officer and accounting authorities play. And then we have on the right-hand side, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members, functions and structures that play quite a pivotal role as well in terms of support and providing oversight to the efforts of the colleagues on the left who are ordinarily tasked with implementing and making decisions on the ground. And that includes Parliament and all the legislatures and oversight committees such as portfolio committees, the NCOP, as well as SCOPA, the committee that we are here to brief here today. On the right-hand side, in terms of support and oversight, we've also included some of the coordinating ministries and coordinating departments, as you would see on the right-hand side. Yes, they are also ordinarily tasked with executing, so they are also on the left-hand side in terms of the green, but in this particular instance, we also appreciate and take into account the role that they are also required to play in terms of coordinating and providing guidance and leadership in particular sectors or on particular key areas of focus to enable government to implement on its strategic objectives. And those would be your treasuries, national treasury, provincial treasuries, your presidency, your OTPs, the Department of Planning and Monitoring and Evaluation that gives guidance on the area of performance information, and then obviously the national and provincial leadership as outlined on the right-hand side. In the center of this particular slide, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members, you'll see we've plotted the office of the AG there, and it's encompassed by what I commonly refer to as a continuum of certain steps that underpin our strategy. Honorable Chair, Honorable Members, our strategy as the Office of the AG is quite clear. It says that even though we have a constitutional mandate and we do the work that we do to make sure that 1 + 2 = 3 and the finances are okay, but at the heart of all the work that we do, as all the role plays in the accountability ecosystem, at the center of it all must always be for the benefit and for the betterment of our citizens. So as the Office of the AG, we will engage all of these role players in the accountability ecosystem in their various respective roles at various points in time. We generate insights in the work that we do, and those insights we hope that will illuminate the role players to see what some of the key pressure points are and where, you know, we've identified these key pressure points. The next step is then to influence these various role players to make sure that the key pressure points that have been identified are attended to, they are being addressed. But unfortunately, we've seen that sometimes our messages are not heeded, and where that does not take place, then the next step is the enforcement step, where the Office of the AG, in terms of the amended powers that were extended by Parliament, we can then go into the material irregularity space and engage in enforcement. Honourable Chair, honourable members, you would see that this is not a linear in the equation. It doesn't start and end. So if you're an enforcement, doesn't mean we have now given up on you. It says that once you then implement the remedial action, the corrective measures, you can see it goes back to a situation where we operate on a relationship of us giving you the insight and then you going and implementing upon influence. So it doesn't mean that once we get to enforcement, that's the end of it. You can still implement remedial action and still correct the measures. All of which, as I've mentioned earlier before, Honourable Chair, Honourable Members, are supposed to be for the betterment of our citizens as depicted in the illustration right at the bottom. I'm going to then move over, Honourable Chair, to the executive summary. Honourable Chair, Honourable Members, with your permission and indulgence. Now, in the executive summary, Honourable Chair, Honourable Members, as the Office of the AG, like I outlined a little bit earlier, ordinarily we would conduct our audits aligned to PFMA and we would identify certain pressure points that are not working in a particular sector. So the sector approach in the health space has been ongoing for a number of years where, for example, in a particular year, we would focus on, let's say, medical equipment or emergency medical services, and we would give the sector, the MECs, the minister, the National Health Council, and the portfolio committees and oversight structures such as yourself, feedback on some of those key areas, coupled with whether they are qualified or unqualified or disclaimed. So that's an additional step that we do over and above just our constitutional mandate, just to try and spur the sector on to focus on the right things in terms of those things that are going wrong in their respective spaces. So as a focus area, we then identified that if you look at some of the things that are going wrong in the sector, a lot of money is being spent in the, you can just keep the presentation steady. So we identified that a number of funds were being spent in the space of the claims. And when we looked at the numbers of the claims that were submitted and also included in the financial statement, we identified a potential emerging risk and a possible problem for the sector in that the continuation of paying these medical legal claims could pose a significant future problem for the sector in that money that is being currently spent on paying out these medical legal claims could have actually been spent elsewhere on the sector to then affect and implement services. So that became quite a pressure point looking at the amounts, and obviously that warranted us and spurred us on into action into identifying this as a focus area. How we went about it, Honourable Chair, Honourable Members, I think it's also important to recall that the departments are actually required in terms of the PFMA to disclose their contingent liabilities in their financial statements. So those are any claims or court cases they've got pending where potentially in future they might be required to expend some of the critical resources that have been assigned to them. So it becomes quite important that this be tracked and a finger be kept on the pulse to make sure that we've got a handle on it, understanding what it means for us for future implications and the money that we would be required to expend in the future. So it found its expression in the disclosure. So we picked it up, and as we consolidated the number for the sector, we realized it's quite significant and material, and therefore that it could pose a future problem, and hence our focus on it. Then, Honourable Chair, Honourable Members, that therefore means that as we embark on our work, it's always important, you would hear the Office of the AG, whenever we report something, we talk about root causes, we talk about understanding where this thing emanated from and trying to unpack what is really going wrong so that we can then therefore advance implementable recommendations for the sector to try and remedy the situation. Part and parcel of that research work included us also then engaging the department and the sector, understanding what they were doing to try and curb the increased number of claims as we were observing in the sector. And we then identified that the sector had actually had a summit in 2015 where the sector got together and identified certain key initiatives to try and go and implement as a sector to try and deal with this particular problem. A couple of recommendations and resolutions were formulated, but they found expression in three broad areas as consolidated in the medical legal declaration and the litigation strategy. If we go down a little bit, the person who's presenting can help us. Yes. So that then informed the bullets that are preceding are summarized, just for the benefit of the members, are summarized in the process flow that is depicted in this particular illustration. Stop right there. Thank you. So while the challenges were identified in terms of what this thing posed and what it would mean for us, we then also identified certain focus areas for us to go and focus on in the previous financial year as the Office of the AG. So we then said, well, for us to understand and for management to also better manage this thing, they need proper supporting evidence. As the Office of the AG, whenever we come and we have to talk about something in the public, obviously, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members, it means that we have done some assurance work in the background. And in order for us to do assurance work in the background, it means that we needed to have access to the supporting evidence, the documentation, in order make meaningful conclusions and therefore meaningful recommendations. Space where a lot of significant challenges are encountered with regard to the maintenance of supporting evidence and the availability of supporting documents. And that then poses a number of challenges for management. Management is not in a position to make sound decisions and make meaningful analysis in terms of the medical legal claims. The team will then later on unpack some of the initiatives that were intended to be implemented to deal with this, such as the acquisition of the system that was supposed to be rolled out to all the provinces so that the information could be collected and stored and then consolidated in a consistent manner so that at any given point in time, you would have meaningful data to make decisions on. Now, the non-implementation of that system and the non-adherence to the way it's implemented to the utilization thereof means that currently the whole sector is using a lot of manual documents and the manual processes, as we all are aware, they've got their own limitations and challenges, for example, such as, not always being consistent and having duplications and the quality of data becomes a problem. And that therefore begs the question with regard to the quality of decision-making by management in the absence of having proper supporting evidence. And it also affects when you have to go to court and defend, how are you defending those cases and on what basis, what evidence do you have to defend the cases if you don't have the evidence. But anyway, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members, we identified those four areas that we would focus on. We wanted to focus on how management was, dealing with the patient safety incidents and the patient complaints, how the sector was managing its medical records, and then also the existing medical legal claims, and then, like I mentioned, the implementation of the case management system or the CMS to deal with the quality and data availability. So we did identify a number of the observations. We did identify that there was lack of dedicated staff and coordinating structures to oversee the management of patient safety incidents and patient complaints. So therefore, if you don't have a handle on the patient safety incidents and the patient complaints, you don't know what the patient is complaining about. So therefore, when you have to defend your cases, I've outlined already earlier on what some of those challenges it could pose when you then have to go and engage your legal counsel. So your legal counsel is always moving off the back foot when they have to go and defend you in these instances. Likewise, in terms of the delays that were experienced in the closure of the patient safety incidents and the case, which results in litigation when those people who've logged the complaints feel that the complaints are not being responded to timely. Inadequate human resources and lack of medical expertise to manage the medical legal claims, the caseload in terms of the legal services directorate, some challenges there. So you don't have adequate capacity to go and defend you in court. And then also inadequate communication and the coordination between the legal services directorate and the healthcare facilities with regard to the medical records. So that obviously when you now need to go and defend the case, like I mentioned, the health experts and the records, they need to then talk to these colleagues in terms of what has gone wrong so that the legal colleagues can understand clearly then and formulate an approach in terms of a strategy in terms of how they are going to defend those cases where maybe they are defendable. Or even if they are not defendable, but maybe just mitigating it better if you have a better sense of of the issue that has then transpired. And then obviously admin staff, you need admin staff to do the daily filing, management of the documents. So some of these findings were identified and elevated and escalated to management in the previous financial year. So Honorable Chair, Honorable Members, what we then did in the current financial year, we did a follow-up of some of these things because you have to give the sector a bit of time to go and implement some of the recommendations that we would have then made in the space on account of the observations that we've just outlined. I'm going to then stop here, Honorable Chair. I think maybe just if before we proceed and I hand over to the team. Team, can we go to the slide that shows the impact? I think the one concern that we've picked up that the chairperson and the members are really alive to as a committee are the implications that the medical legal claims have on the sector. So we've just included, it was on page number six, we were happy on page number six. The implication of the medical legal claims on the sector. So essentially, we also identified that there might be some gaps with regards to the budgeting process. So you can't budget for the medical legal claims because at any given point in time, you don't know how much you're going to have to pay out. You have to engage in systems of utilizing assumptions based on the history so that you can estimate what would be the likely and probable amount that you pay out. So if you don't have the processes established, it means that you can't really, reliably estimate what you would need to pay out. So the sector used to work on the summons process where if a summons has been submitted, they take the summons and that's what they say the claim amount would be. But obviously that doesn't always mean that that's what is going to be physically paid out. So it poses problems with regard to your budgeting process because you don't know how much you must budget for or how much economic outflow, how many of your resources will flow out in the next subsequent year in terms of medical legal claims. What that means is that when the payments come, if you haven't budgeted for them, it means that it's then eroding the next year's budget that you budgeted to buy and procure medical equipment needed to render services or to expand your staff so that you don't have capacity problems or just to deliver other services in this space. So you're taking away and eating away from next year's budget if you're paying away, or even this year's budget if you're paying on these medical legal claims. So we've just highlighted a couple of incidents just to show the example of the implications that these medical legal claims have on the sector as a whole by just highlighting some of those departments. Honorable Chair, Honorable Members, I'm going to hand over to the team now. The presentation will be led by Ms. Mule Tipe, who will talk us through the rest of the document from page number 7. And as I've done, I've gone really high level in terms of trying to create the foundation and the background. She will deal page by page. And I think what's key as well, she will also deal with the issue of the accounting requirements, what the sector has done in terms of implementing some of the measures, and then also what some of our remaining concerns are in this regard. Thank you, Honorable Members. Mule?
Thank you so much, Andres. Thank you so much for the presentation. Through your permission, my leadership and the Honorable Chair, I would like to introduce Marijke Smechans, who did work in terms of the medical legal claims, the key observations for the 2021-2022 financial year. She was quite key in terms of this order to take us through Section 5 of this report. Thank you. Over to you, Marijke.
Good morning, Honourable Chair and members, leadership of the AGSA. Thank you, Mule. So I will just take you through the key observations for the 21-22 financial year. And like Andres indicated, we looked at some of the initiatives under the management and administration section. don't worry, Andres. It is fine. Under the management and administration section in the national litigation strategy. So in there, we focused on four of the sub-focus areas, of which the first one is the management of existing medical legal claims in the provinces. The second one is the management of medical records that Andres alluded to. The third area is the management of patient safety incidents. And then the last area was the management of patient complaints. So the first area that is currently on the screen is the management of the existing medical legal claims in the provinces. What we looked at, we The objective of our work was to determine whether each provincial department developed and implemented strategies, policies and procedures to guide the management of the existing medical legal claims, and also to determine whether coordinating, supervising and reporting officials and structures were appointed and effective in overseeing the management of the existing medical legal claims in the provinces. There we identified two observations. The first one is inadequate human resource capacity and lack of medical expertise to manage the medical legal caseload in the legal services directorates. So in all 9 provinces, at the provincial departments of health, you have legal services directorates. So at 6 of the provincial health departments, there were staff shortages related to the availability of legal officers, while in 2 of the provinces, they also indicated that they have a lack of medical expertise in these legal services directorates to ensure effective management of the existing medical legal claims. This then contributed to delays in the finalization of medical legal claims, and at the end of the day, it might lead into some increased costs for our provincial departments of health. The second observation that we made is the ineffective systems between the provincial departments and the healthcare facilities to coordinate the request and submission of medical records related to medical legal cases. So this is, for example, where your legal services directorate at your provincial department will request a medical record from a hospital or a healthcare facility that will enable them to defend the medical legal case or claim in a court of law. So in all 9 provinces, the legal services directorates will make direct contact with healthcare facilities to obtain the information. At 4 of the provincial directorates, delays were at times experienced in the submission of the requested medical record from the healthcare facilities to these legal services directorates, or the healthcare facilities in some of the instances were unable to provide the required medical records. And then this may lead to an increase in the medical legal claim, as cases may not be defendable in a court of law. So it's always so important that a medical record could be there to enable this legal services directorate to go and defend the case in a court of law. We included some recommendations and commitments for you. The first recommendation, the department was advised to review the human resource requirements. This is now in the legal directorate and organogram of the legal services and the relevant provincial policies and procedures. And then the second part is also for enhanced accountability for the management of medical legal cases and the coordination of requests for medical records from these healthcare facilities. That there are clear delegations that needs to be in place for staff members who must monitor, coordinate and report these requests for medical records. And then just in a commitment where the departments agreed with our findings and they made specific commitments to implement our recommendations. The second sub-focus area that I refer to is the management of medical records. And like Andries indicate, how important the medical records is for the legal services directorate to have a case in a court of law if a medical legal claim is coming in. So in terms of the objectives, what did we look at? And we looked at availability and implementation of policies and procedures for the management of medical records. We looked at human resources for the management of medical records at the healthcare facilities, filing, retrieval and tracking systems for medical records, storage and safeguarding of medical records, and then also the archiving and disposal of medical records. For this section, we selected 27 healthcare facilities across South Africa, 3 per province, where we conducted this work. So the first observation we made there was with regard to the lack of human resources to manage medical records. At 18 of the 27 healthcare facilities that were visited across the 9 provinces, shortages were reported among administrative staff members responsible for the management of medical records. This had a negative effect on the management of medical records. In a number of healthcare facilities, we identified a high level of vacancies in the administrative staff, and they would mostly indicate that it's due to financial constraints that these posts were not filled in a timely manner. Our second observation was on staff members who were responsible for the management of medical records did not receive training. administrative staff at 6 of the 27 facilities that we visited did not receive training in the management of medical records. So as a result, some of the administrative clerks responsible for the management of medical records were not familiar with the content of the relevant policies and procedures, and therefore they did not always perform their daily tasks in line with these prescripts. The third observation that we made is on medical records were not always filed in a systematic and orderly manner. At 15 of the 27 healthcare facilities, the medical records were either misfiled or were not always filed in a systematic or orderly manner as a result of limited infrastructure or shortages in the responsible administrative staff. So as a result, these delays occurred when medical records needed to be retrieved from the filing system for use in the clinical areas, and or medical records in some cases become missing or lost at these healthcare facilities. Our fourth observation was on medical records that were issued from the filing system were not always tracked in an efficient and effective manner to make sure that you always know where your medical records is in the healthcare facility. So what we identified as at 17 of the 27 healthcare facilities that we visited, that the movement of medical records was not tracked in an efficient and effective manner to monitor the return of medical records to the filing or storage areas once it has been used in the clinical area and issued back. There were tools in place to track these medical records, but the tools were not always used. And then also the staff that was responsible for returning the records from the clinical areas to the storage areas did not always execute their duties in a timely manner. So this placed the medical records at risk of becoming missing, lost, or stolen from the healthcare facilities. And if these are then needed for medical legal claims, it will unfortunately not be available. Our fifth observation here is on the medical records that became lost, missing, or stolen from healthcare facilities. Incidences of medical records being reported as missing or lost were recorded at 15 of the 27 healthcare facilities that we visited. Some of these medical records that were recorded as missing at the healthcare facilities had been requested by the legal services directors or private lawyers in relation to medical legal claims, and then therefore the healthcare facilities were unable to provide these medical records for medical legal claims or maybe court cases. Our sixth observation is on medical records that were not stored under optimal conditions. And there we identified insufficient storage space and poor storage practices for active and or archived medical records. And that was identified across all 9 provinces at 25 of the 27 healthcare facilities. So this is usually where some of the medical records are stored on the floor. It's not always stored in a secure area, or it is stored where it is maybe exposed to heat or to water. So this is just a few examples of poor storage practices. The first picture is insufficient space and shelving that resulted in active medical records being stored in a disorderly manner. The second photo is some active records stored in boxes on the passage, on the floor. Our third picture is some active medical records that were also stored in a disorderly manner in boxes on the floor. And then the last picture, picture 4, is archived medical records that was stored in a disorderly manner at one of the hospitals. Then our next observation was on the non-adherence to the procedures for archiving of eligible medical records. So at 12 of the healthcare facilities visited, the process to identify medical records that were eligible to be removed from the storage areas and archived were not always implemented or done in a timely manner. 16 of the 27 healthcare facilities visited, and they also indicated that the medical records were not permanently saved through electronic archiving methods. And that was also one of the important things that was included in the national litigation strategy. So if some of the eligible medical records are not archived in a timely manner, the storage areas for active medical records becomes overloaded, like you could see in the pictures, And then there will be no or limited storage space will be created for new medical records. Then our last observation under this sub-focus area was the disposal of eligible dormant medical records was not done. Dormant medical records that were eligible for disposal were not identified and disposed of at 21 of the 27 healthcare facilities. So it was indicated that administrative shortages, a lack of support from some of the district authorities as they need some approval from the district authorities for the disposal of medical records, and a lack of training of responsible staff contributed to the shortcomings in the implementation of provincial policies and procedures that relates to the disposal of medical records. Again, same as with archived medical records, if these records are not disposed in a timely manner, it doesn't make space available for new medical records. And at the end of the day, it contributes to overloading in the storage areas and poor storage practices. And in some cases, there's also the risk of internal, external damage to the medical records if it's not packed in a manner in accordance to the policies and the procedures to protect the medical records for the years that it's supposed to be protected. Then we included a recommendation and the commitment from the department. So the first recommendation, the department was advised to prioritize the recruitment and filling of staff members who will be responsible for the management of medical records at these healthcare facilities. The second one, we refer to a training needs analysis that needs to be done for the administrative staff, and that they need to be included in an annual training plan, that they can go for the training, that they can do their daily tasks in line with policies and procedures. Then the third one is on the monitoring of the staff's adherence to the prescripts, and where required, include holding the staff accountable when instances of non-compliances are noted. At all 27 healthcare facilities that we visited, there were policies, very clear policies and procedures in place for the management of medical records, but it was not always applied during their daily tasks. Then in terms of the annual cleanup of the storage areas, it needs to be scheduled and planned for in advance. If we need to do disposal or the archiving of medical records, it is something that facility managers can really plan for to make sure it's done on an annual basis as prescribed by the departments of health. And then in terms of the commitment, where management agreed, and they also made a commitment to implement our recommendation. Then the third sub-focus area, like Andries indicated, on the management of patient safety incidents, what was the objective of our work, to determine whether each province developed and implemented strategies, policies and procedures to guide the management of patient safety incidents, and also to determine whether coordinating, supervising and reporting officials and structures were appointed and effective in overseeing the management of patient safety incidents. So just again, in terms of what is patient safety incidents, that is those incidents that are reported by the medical staff. It is then investigated, a recommendation is made, and then also a plan is put in place to make sure that this specific incident is prevented from future reoccurrence. So it's really to help the healthcare facility and the staff to do better. The audit observations or findings, we identified two areas. The first one is the lack of dedicated staff and or coordinating structures to oversee the management of patient safety incidents. Here we also included patient complaints, because it is the same quality assurance manager that is responsible for it. At 13 of the 27 facilities visited, there was a lack of dedicated staff and or coordinating reporting and supervisory committees were not established, or where they were not effective to oversee the management of patient safety incidents and complaints at these healthcare facilities. The lack of dedicated staff or oversight structures contributed to the ineffective management of patient safety incidents or then complaints at the healthcare facilities. Our second observation, ineffective processes in the recording, reporting and resolution of patient safety incidents. So the first area is there. Patient safety incidents that were identified at healthcare facilities were not always recorded onto the electronic IDEAL facility monitoring system in accordance with their relevant policies and procedures. At 7 of the 27 healthcare facilities that we visited, patient safety incidents were not always recorded on the registers in the ideal facility monitoring system, or sometimes the system contained errors or the system was not completed in full, therefore it was regarded as incomplete. It was indicated that the staff shortages, the lack of knowledge and inadequate training of the staff in terms of the information technology that they are using resulted in this poor recording of the patient safety incidents. In some of the cases, they also experienced challenges with the information technology that they are using. On the second paragraph there, in the annual reports and in the strategic documents, they have a closure rate for patient safety incidents that they need to achieve. And at in three of the provinces, it's seven facilities, we identified that they did not achieve their target in terms of the closure rates for the patient safety incidents. And then lastly, in terms of the patient safety incidents, delays were also reported in the number of working days required to conclude some of these patient safety incident cases at 14 of the 27 healthcare facilities visited. Patient safety incidents is supposed to be closed within 60 working days, and that was not always done. And they mainly indicated that it's due to a lack of dedicated staff or various challenges experienced in accessing the electronic ideal facility monitoring system. The staff members involved in the investigations of the public patient safety incidents had limited time available, which sometimes led to delays in the finalization of the investigations before they can close the patient safety incidents. Then just in terms of the recommendations, the department was advised to have formal committees established to supervise, manage and report on patient safety incidents and complaints at the facilities. The work of these committees should be captured in formal meeting minutes. This is so important for the healthcare facilities. Then next, the department was advised to review the staff requires and organogram in line with the services rendered by them. And this is now the services relating to the patient safety incidents. Then the department should also implement a comprehensive training needs analysis, identify the training requirements, and make sure that the staff are trained to deal with these patient safety incidents. Then we also indicated that a review of the information technology requirements in line with the service rendered is required, where they just have to have a look at those challenges with the information technology system that they are using. And then the last one is the department should monitor the staff members' adherence to the requirements and where required hold the staff accountable when instances of non-adherence are noted. Also here, the national department as well as the provincial departments, there's very clear policies and procedures in place on how to handle patient safety incidents. So it's just important for the staff to adhere to those. And then we also received commitments from the Department of Health that they will implement our recommendations. Our last sub-focus area is on the management of patient complaints. Patient complaints are those complaints by a patient or maybe a family member of a patient, and then there will be an investigation. They will resolve it, and it needs to be resolved within 25 working days, and then they provide feedback to the family or to the patient. Just in terms of the objective of this sub-focus area, it was to determine whether each province developed and implemented strategies, policies and procedures to guide the management of complaints, and also whether they have coordinating, supervising and reporting officials and structures in place and to effectively oversee the management of complaints in the provinces. Here we just identified two observations, of which the first one is the ineffective process to enable complaints from members of the public. At five of the healthcare facilities visited, the prescribed processes to ensure that members of the public are enabled to lodge their complaints were not always effectively implemented. Complaints boxes were not always available or were not opened in a timely manner. Usually there's guidance posters or pamphlets, but these were not always available. Or in cases where it was available, it didn't contain the correct information. And or limited access points were made available where the members of the public could lodge their complaints. It was indicated that a shortage of staff to manage the complaints contributed to these shortcomings. Then lastly, the observation on delay in the closure of patient complaints, Mule, just a little bit up, sorry. At 17 of the 27 healthcare facilities visited, delays were reported in the number of working days required to conclude on some of the patient complaints. Delays in the time taken to resolve these complaints increased the likelihood that members of the public who believed that their complaints were not being managed effectively or to their satisfaction may turn to litigation or redress. So it was also indicated that some healthcare facilities did not have dedicated staff to assist with these complaints, and they also experienced some challenges with the information technology system that they are using. Thank you, Mule. The next one is just in terms of our recommendations. The department should review the staff requirements and organigrams in line with the services rendered by them, specifically for the patient complaints. Also, a review of the information technology requirements in line with the services rendered that is required. And then lastly, monitoring of staff members' adherence to the requirements is encouraged, and where required, the department should hold the staff accountable for instances of non-adherence in terms of managing the patient complaints. Then lastly, just in terms of the commitment, management agreed with our findings and made a commitment that these recommendations will be implemented. Thank you. Thank you, Honourable Chair and members.
Thank you so much, Marika, for that. I will continue with the presentation from here on. Marika just reflected on the detailed work that was placed into the management of the patient safety complaints and incidents, the overall management of the medical records, management of and management of existing medical legal claims. On top of that, we have some data analytics in terms of the work that we do, where we look, when we collect the data from throughout the sector. And this data enabled us to have a look at where the bulk of the claims are coming from, the values that were claimed, and how much was paid from all of these sectors overall. In analyzing this, we had some data limitations relating to the medical legal claims, and this is because it is attributed to challenges that exist. I just mentioned before in the starting point to say that there is no one system which is collating the data to ensure that the information captured on the system is consistent and it's formalized so that we're then able to get a proper holistic view of the medical legal claims just to see the type of claims that are there. And on the top left of this graphic, we're able to see the amounts that are claimed per province, and we are seeing that our observation from this that the bulk of the claims in orange are related to cerebral palsy, which is a medical condition which could be as a result of poor monitoring of the pregnancy.
Mule, sorry to I wonder if maybe you could turn your camera off to just strengthen your connectivity. I think you're sort of buffering and lagging and just providing an echo. Yeah, if maybe, thanks.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Better now, Chair?
Let's see how it goes. Thanks.
Okay. All right, thank you so much. We're just giving a better view in terms of the analysis of the patient claims and the amount that were paid towards this claim. This analysis was done in the 2021-22 financial year in line with what was reported by Marika on the presentation. And we're able to see that the Eastern Cape, KZN, and Limpopo are the leading provinces relating to the medical legal claims, where they have the most amount claimed relating to the medical legal claims. When we reflect on the amounts paid, we are seeing that the amounts paid are quite minimal in relation to the amounts that has been claimed from the amounts claimed relating to the medical legal claims. We also just the snapshot in terms of the year in which we had the bulk of the claims and the downward trend in terms of the claims and also the valuation of these claims over the different financial years. When it comes to Northwest, the locations were not recorded the data that was kept relating to the medical legal claims. And in all of this, and as Marek has also reported, the departmental policies and procedures, they are there, they are developed, and they are good in all the provinces. But when it comes to implementation, departments are challenged in terms of implementation of these policies. So we also analyzed in the prior year 2021-22 the type of cases from that were paid by the different departments, in this case by the departments, just to the real root causes of why are we having this claim and why these huge amounts are being paid towards this claim. We just wanted to understand the reasons why we are having all these medical legal claims. And we found that most of the cases are relating to the clear negligence by the staff, meaning that they have not adhered to the normal standards that they're supposed to adhere to. So as a result, the patients would then result to claiming against the state. So from these cases, from the four provinces that we looked into, it was either a case of clear negligence or there were no supporting documentation to There were no supporting documentation to support the claims that were made. This is attributed to poor record management by the facilities, which then contributes to the loss of the finances by the department. And it's due to also the inadequate filing processes, as Marike had presented and reflected on the reasons why. In the current year, the 2022-23 financial year, we have decided to continue with the medical legal claim. We now went back to the initial starting point, which is the MTSF target. We wanted to reflect on the MTSF target from the planning phase just to see where the department, where the sector is relating to this specific claim. And we've identified that the sector is still behind in terms of these claims. They have not achieved their targets relating to the medical legal claims. The NDP intervention for rising medical legal claims, they developed a comprehensive policy and legislative framework to mitigate the risk related to the medical litigation. There was a target that was set that was set by the government wanting to see the decrease of the medical legal claims by 80%, which is under 18 billion in the 2024 financial year from the baseline of 70 billion, which was identified and recorded in 2018. Currently, we are sitting at approximately 68 billion of these cases, and 68 billion is exclusive of Limpopo Provincial Department. This is because they had not yet signed the report when we're reporting this now. So chances are this is even more than 68 billion. So this amount is 4% less than the baseline, which was recorded in 2018. Over the years, we have seen an increase relating to the balance of the medical legal claims. Currently, when we calculate, the sector is currently at 372% of the target, with 1 year remaining relating to the MTSF period. The National Department has put through some two interventions that deal with the medical legal claims, aiming at reducing these claims. These were recorded in the APP, was also recorded also in the annual performance report. And in the report, the two indicators that we have indicated there, these indicators are the indicators that have been reported in the annual report that has been tabled by the National Department. These indicators relate to policy and legal framework to manage medical legal claims developed in South Africa. And this specific indicator is currently within the control or within the South African Law Reform Commission, which should be finalizing the process on the discussion paper to inform the development of a legislation to manage the medical legal claims in the country. The second indicator that was included in terms of assisting and managing the medical legal claims, it was the implementation of the secure of the case management system, which was meant to streamline the management of the these cases in the 8 provinces. Western Cape indicated that they will not be participating in this, and therefore it was supposed to have been rolled out in the provinces. Currently, what we have audited and identified that it was only rolled out in the few provinces. There's only one province that is currently partially using the system, and which is the Free State. In terms of the observations relating to the case management system, the department entered into a 3-year contract with a service provider, which was meant to develop the case, management system to assist with the medical legal method. So this system is supposed to be capturing the information, they're supposed to report on it, and the management is supposed to see, have a holistic view in terms of the cases that are captured on the system. They're supposed to see where the case is coming from, the specific locations where these cases are being reported. They're supposed to also see the lawyers, the attorneys that are currently allocated to these cases, so that they're able to allow management and empower management to make certain decisions and to be able to follow up on certain things that might take up from the analysis that they would have done with the information that would have been captured in the system. We had found that there was no feasibility study conducted for the case management system to determine the viability of the project. This resulted in the case management system being rolled out in some of the provinces, but not used for its intended purpose. In addition to that, the department derived minimal value from the expenditure on support and maintenance of the case management system. The system was partially used in one province. The provinces are using manual systems. This is not adequate, seen by the limitations that is experienced when we're analyzing the data and also when we are requesting the data. Furthermore, it also limits the risk of identification of risk and the ability for government to act on these risks, and the reliability of the liability is then impacted. We have done an analysis of the systems that they are currently using at the provinces because the CMS system has not yet been fully utilized by the provinces that they're supposed to use, but they're supposed to utilize. They think that the bulk of the sector is currently using manual systems, making use of spreadsheets, which means that are quite a lot of data limitations, you know, when the information is captured, because it would not be captured and collated in a formalized and consistent manner. I am informed that there are technical glitches in terms of the sound. I would like to just take a minute to try to sort it out. Honorable Chair, with your permission.
All right, cool, no problem.
Honorable, I am back. I am now speaking from Andres Kheto's machine because I hear
Welcome
that the sound
from that break.
Yes.
We had to pay the bill.
Yes, Honorable Chair. I'm now speaking from Andres's machine. I hope the sound is a little bit better now, Chair. All right, I'll continue. So we are seeing that in terms of the systems that are currently used by the sector, it's mostly, actually there's no systems. In most instances, they are using spreadsheets, and which then further aggravates the issue that we have relating to the credibility of the data that you're going to have on the system for management to make decisions with, and also the consistency of the information. It will not be consistent. It will not be the same information that is collated throughout the sector. A formalized medical record system is quite vital in preventing medical legal claims by maintaining accurate, secure, and compliant patient records. It reduces the risk of legal disputes, supports accountability, and safeguards against errors and omissions in the healthcare documentation. We're just also reflecting the financial impact to date. There was about 3.6 million that was paid by the National Department for these services to be rolled out and implemented in the sector. However, there was only 1.8 million that was paid to date for the rollout of this system. And we've already mentioned that it was only rolled out in three provinces and only partially used by one province, which is Free State. In terms of the legal framework, which the National Department undertook to develop this policy and legal framework to manage the medical legal claims in South Africa on behalf of all provincial departments of health. The South African Law Reform Commission is in the process of finalizing the draft discussion paper. Thereafter, a legislative process will commence through the drafting of the bill in line with the recommendations that would have been proposed. So we trust and we hope that this will assist in terms of the reduction of the overall medical legal claims. On this 7.3, we are unpacking the three observations relating to the medical legal claims as well as the payments that we made over the past 3 years. So on this one, what is important to note here is that if we're looking at the total value of the medical legal claims over the 3 years, there is a somewhat reduction relating to the medical legal claims. However, the Limpopo amount, it has not been included, so this amount might be higher than what is captured there as 68 billion rand within the sector. But when we look at the other side of the picture, what we are seeing is that from the 22 financial year to the 23 financial year, there is an increase in terms of the payments that were made towards the medical legal claims. These are the payments that were made within just this year. They might not necessarily relate to this year. They might have been older claims, but we're only analyzing and looking at the amounts that were paid in the current year. If we go down just a little bit, there we are seeing that it's also important to have a look at the fact that on the one side we have an increase, but on the other side there was some increase in terms of the payment of these claims. And again, what is critical to note is that these claims, if they are not paid on time, if the court has ordered the department to pay and the departments do not pay these amounts in time, it then attracts the interest, which means that if that interest, it needs to be paid out to the beneficiaries by the time that has been ordered by the court. So this interest, because they're not paid on time, it then further adds to the financial loss for the department. And it also money lost that could be servicing the public. There's still poor record keeping of medical records in the year under review that is still not attended to by the health department. And this is specifically noted in the Eastern Cape, Gauteng, KwaZulu-Natal, and Northern Cape. And these are the provinces with one of the highest values relating to the medical legal claims. This is because the establishments, the health establishments, did not ensure that health records containing prescribed information are created for every user of health services, and they are maintained at that health establishment. In addition to the record keeping, Other health sector challenges that need attention include staff shortages, ineffective health facilities, and lack of implementation of policies and legal frameworks. If these matters are not addressed, they will have a detrimental long effect on the sector's ability to deliver swift, good quality healthcare services, jeopardizing the essential blocks relating to the NHI. We then analyze the ripple effect of these claims on the overall health sector. These claims, they place an immense pressure on the health sector because there is limited budget. Now, coupled with poor financial management, it places even more pressure on service delivery of service delivery to the public. So here we just took the appropriation for the next year, which is the 22-24 appropriation, and we also included the accruals there. So the message that we have on this one is that 19% of the appropriation, it goes to the accruals and payables that are not yet recognized. So these are the invoices that relate to the 2022-2023 financial year, which were not processed in that year, and that is going to eat up the money from the appropriation that is meant for the 22-23 financial year. So meaning that each year the sector is starting the year on a back foot because of the invoices that are not well managed and the lack of finances. And to add further to this, if these accruals are not paid within the prescribed time, within the 30 days, it then has a ripple effect in terms of the interest that would be charged by the suppliers because their invoices are not paid on time, which then add further to the fruitless and wasteful expenditure. Please go up a little bit. Thank you. So again, we are also analyzing the claims against the department, which is the 68 billion that we reflected on. And this 68 billion, it makes up 75% of the total appropriation. And then we also reflected on the fruitless and wasteful expenditure, which is expenditure that should have been avoided and is fruitless, should have reasonable care been taken by the departments. So this is funding that should have not actually transpired even in the first place. So our message is that there is pressure on the finances of the sector and the departments. And on top of that, there needs to be stoppages relating to some of these expenditures, like, for example, a fruitless and wasteful expenditure, to ensure that this money is then utilized servicing the people of our country. If we go down just a little bit, so if we take the 2023-2024 appropriation, we're going to have to take out the 19% relating to the prior year, then we'll only be left with an amount that is minimal, meaning that the future allocation is already being used to fund the prior year expenses. So it forces management to continuously make choices of which the services, to make choices of which activities or services to prioritize and which to suspend, which would then further disadvantage the citizens. It's not advisable to be consistently borrowing from the future allocation to fund the previous expenditures. I have reflected in terms of the interest. Overall, total claims against the health sector were at about 75% of the overall appropriation. So if they're not managed well, it then puts further and additional pressure on the available funds, which are meant for service delivery. We have raised a concern relating to the Eastern Cape, Free State, and Northwest as to whether there will be going concerns in the near future. So this is where we are indicating the impact relating to the financial viability of those specific departments. As the Honorable Chair has indicated that we have met with the Portfolio Committee as well as the National Council of Provinces previously. And in our meeting, there were certain comments and recommendations that they made in the meeting, which we thought we would bring to this committee. There was these, among some of the recommendations, we just picked some of these recommendations and comments, which we thought they might assist with the sector going forward, because they also touch in terms of the lived reality of the citizens or of the claimants in this regard. So there was a comment that was made relating to the claimants that there's instances where you'd find that the lawyers are benefiting more than the claimants that should be benefiting from the funding. So there was a recommendation that these claimants, they need to, that the sector or the department should need to follow up on the payments to ensure that the actual beneficiaries are benefiting from the funding, from the amounts that would have been paid to them and not the legal practitioners. Implementation of system and processes aimed at producing quality, reliable information to enable adequate oversight. This one we have really emphasized on it to say that the system is critical in order to ensure that information is captured and it's captured in time and it's well and it's relevant. There was also a comment relating to the collaboration with other committees, like, for example, the Department of Justice, in order to assist the National Department in terms of these medical legal claims. Public health facilities, they need to have the necessary skills, midwives, and availability as well, availability of necessary medication, and facilities need to initiate care of pregnant women. This is because of the claims that are coming through because of related to cerebral palsy, because some of them, they would have identified within the sector that they are related to the mothers not attending either the mother's not attending the initiatives by the clinics, or the pregnancy would not be monitored well because maybe they do not have the skilled midwife, and in some instances perhaps there's no the availability of medicine is not there. So if there's no availability of medicine, then the people would then be disadvantaged that are supposed to be benefiting from that. The oversight committees in the sector, they need to request the sector leadership to provide plans on how they will implement and improve the system of internal controls relating to financial and performance management of disciplines and service delivery. This must be supported by proper governance processes. So there needs to also be proper consequence management that is implemented. We have identified that there's instances where the challenges might be related to the finances. There's instances where it's just things that needed to have been done, but they were not done. So there's certain instances where if someone walks into the facility and they need to be addressed, they need to be attended to by the clinicians, that needs to happen without having any type of delays within the system. So things need to work very well. The portfolio committee should, through improved collaboration with NCOP, closely monitor the areas that are contributing. That are contributing to the funds to be depleted from the sector that would have been otherwise been used to procure and or maintain the much needed equipment and infrastructure and increase capacity and skills in the sector. The areas must include medical legal claims, fruitless and wasteful expenditures as presented, as well as better management of goods and services and processes to reduce the extent of accruals in the sector, because this means that they are taking the following year's money and using it to service the previous year invoices. We also looked at the real root causes relating to the issues, and some of them they were presented by Mareike, where we saw that there's lack of resources within the facilities to actively manage the medical records. There's instances where there's insufficient storage space and poor storage practices for active and/or archived medical records that needs to be dealt with. There's non-adherence to archiving procedures with no consequence management. There's also lack of implementation and utilization of the CMS system, which is meant to assist the sector in terms of the information and management of the medical legal claims. We have given recommendations to the sector leadership in terms of prioritizing and recruiting, as well as filling of vacant positions of people that would be responsible for the management of these claims and train those that are dealing with these claims. This is linked to the presentation that Mareke gave relating to this issue. The infrastructure requirements needs to be reviewed in line with the healthcare facilities in terms of the need to store medical records. Should there be a need for additional infrastructure to store the medical records, the department should plan so accordingly. Marika also reflected in terms of the dormant files that are there and that are taking space, which they shouldn't be. Monitoring of staff adherence to the archiving procedures and, where applicable, hold staff accountable for instances of non-compliance. The full implementation and utilization of the CMS system should assist in line with the intended objectives. Our message to SCOPA in this regard, in terms of how SCOPA can assist, this committee can assist in terms of dealing with this matter, is to closely monitor the areas that are contributing to the funds being depleted from the sector that could have otherwise been used to procure equipment or expand infrastructure or increase capacity and skills in the sector, especially the recruitment and training of staff responsible for medical records. Again, ensuring that there's no fruitless and wasteful expenditure, and then by better managing the accrual so that there is no spending of the next year's budget relating to the prior year. A key driver to this is to request the sector leadership to report regularly to this committee and the portfolio committee in terms of the progress that has been made in terms of implementing internal controls that relates to record keeping of patient information. Again, it's further recommended that this report back must be verified by other assurance providers within the accountability system, such as the audit committees and internal audit functions of the relevance of the sector. The oversight committees within the sector needs to request the sector leadership to provide plans that they will implement not only to improve the system of internal controls relating to financial and performance management disciplines, but also those relating to the improvement of service delivery. This must be supported by proper governance processes, as mentioned above. Proper governance includes records which must be stored in line with the archiving procedures, which we recommend must also be incorporated as part of the regular reporting to the committee, empower the committee to track whether there is progress that has been made in terms of this regard, and also if there is some reduction, if it will assist in terms of the reduction of the medical legal claims. Thank you. Thank you, Honorable Chair. At this point, we're just reflecting on other key messages that we have delivered relating to this year to the portfolio committee, which includes the resourcing of the primary healthcare facilities, infrastructure audit, and province-specific messages. Drafting of key messages we shared with the portfolio committee in October during the BRRR process. I will just pause there, Chairperson. Thank you.
All right. No, thank you very much for that. Very comprehensive briefing, AG. If you look at that image of the documents, it's a case of deja vu for this committee. Having seen the same at UIF, compensation fund, road accident fund, it's a ticking time bomb. And so far as the document management is concerned in the country. So thank you very much, AG, and the other matter that you raised. Colleagues, I just want to go to, so I don't see hands, so you'll just come in.
Mr. Chairman, can I comment?
Proceed, Honorable Liz.
Mr. Chairman, you've said it already that this is kind of deja vu. But what really does concern me a little bit is that the emphasis throughout has been emphasis on administration documentation, which is a complete mess and obviously has to be fixed. But what is of more concern and probably isn't really the domain of the AG is the fact that they have these massive number of claims which are based on poor health care. And therefore, if one wants to deal with reducing the claims, the documentation administration forms a part of it. But the key must surely be fixing the poor health care. And that perhaps is outside our immediate domain, but certainly not outside our responsibility as being part of Parliament and oversight. And so I absolutely agree with you that the administration we see at virtually every state institution we have anything to do with is appalling. But then so are the services that those institutions are providing, whether they be UIF, Compensation Commissioner, Road Accident Fund, or now are we looking at health departments? So, Mr. Chairman, I think that I don't know how we go forward with it. Obviously, we have to focus on administration and get the record keeping and everything right. But the intervention of the National Department of Health seems to me completely wrong, just to be focusing on administration and putting in systems to monitor it, and not dealing with the root cause of the poor health services. But yeah, let's leave it at that. Thanks, Mr. Chairman.
But thank you very much, Honourable Lees. Any other hands, colleagues?
Chair?
Honourable Swamy, please proceed.
No, I think thank you very much in appreciation of the report. I think it's what is good about it is that already a similar engagement has taken place with relevant portfolio committee or select committee within Parliament, National Assembly, because the relevance thereof would be exactly on the level of what the colleague Honourable Lees was referring to. The AG is providing the briefing to us so that we can make our thorough analysis and be able to take this kind of information to where it matters, meaning the department or departments affected. So at this stage, one would want to sound that form of a level of appreciation. And looking into what the Minister of Finance has tabled to us in the last week on a diminishing a revenue, and looking into these the sort of liabilities which are not in a static form, and the spiral of such could even be a cause for alarm in finding a way as to how best to manage both the growth and the cost. The growth, yes, ought to be managed through appropriate systems which ought to be in place. But it's clear that though the department has devised such means, it's only a few provinces who observe the very same means. It looks like some kind of maximum care for the fiscus at the level of those who are being fed by relevant solutions. There's less care about it, and it might be that through the actual call from the relevant department for consequence management, because you spend money, you devise means, introduce solutions, And they're true that there is absolutely no actual utilization of such instruments, which then becomes a bigger problem. And the second answer to that would be that those who might be looking for such solutions are a bit distant from such areas which experience on a daily basis these kinds of challenges. So I'm lamenting, Chair, on the fact that the usefulness of the information that we have received is somewhat relevant, as we would be able to challenge the department on working solutions to deal with these matters, knowing very well that yes, indeed, there will be those who thrive through at these failures and lapses, and the lapses might be in some instances of self-creation, meaning therefore that the problem is perpetual. So from our side is only to drive the instance of consequence management if things are unabated and happening in the way they are. There's no way that we could experience such a experiential instance in as far as the growth is concerned on this liability. And we must bring that message home to find a better way of arresting this kind of situation, which is unbearable, you know. So maybe we might want to program the session with the relevant department or departments, including some provinces, so that we must be made comfortable that there is evidence into this kind of a thing. So thanks to the office of the AG for just dealing with this thing. We have been doing so for ages, and the growth is too high. 2017-18, it was sitting at about 30 billion rand. Now we see something which has gone above 70 billion rand. So it's a threat to sustainability of fiscals to support healthcare and to entrench the policy as proposed and the law as somewhat finalized by this parliament. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thanks, Dr. Swami. Are there any other comments, colleagues? I just want to echo the sentiments that the two colleagues have made, because above and beyond this particular reality is the issue of the professional conduct of the health practitioners and the consequence then of the negligence which arises. So, and the escalation in the medical legal bills is worrisome. And I don't see it, you know, reducing anytime soon if the multi-pronged intervention, some of which has been spoken about here, are devised, and ensuring that there is a semblance of coherence in the ecosystem insofar as the management of this issue is concerned. I mean, the figures high, excluding the purple, right? So it tells you that we are in dire straits. And I do believe that there to be engaged. I just fear that this poses a risk to the fiscus, and it poses a risk to service delivery, because above and beyond what may be the claims is the interest which you have spoken about, AJ, and so on. And I wonder what type of, you know, strength we are giving to the legal teams who have to go and argue cases, for lack of a better word, in a vacuum. because of this. So whilst we are not ignorant to the fact that from time to time there will be these kind of claims and there will be, you know, glitches in the healthcare system, you know, healthcare practitioners are human, but the claims or the payouts can't be a default position. But no, it's okay, this thing can continue because we will pay. It has to be coupled with consequence management, infrastructure in our healthcare facilities to make sure that the healthcare practitioners are fully equipped, fully armed and the necessary resources and infrastructures available. Now, this for me exposes a huge lacuna insofar as those areas are concerned. And the default position is that it's okay, we'll pay. There's money because these are never personal costs. It is never a personal cost against Dr. Somi or Dr. Lee. No, it's the department, and therefore it means the taxpayer has to foot the bill for this thing. So I agree that an engagement is required. And I again lament the collapse of CETA in this regard, who is really supposed to be at the forefront of assisting government departments and entities to be able to, you know, manage issues of this nature technologically and otherwise for the purposes of record keeping and document management. So I worry that there's a ticking time bomb on many fronts, and I think it may be worthwhile to pursue it parallel to the work that the portfolio committee will be doing and the NCOP will be doing, because the future risks are grave if the current trends are sustained. So I don't think there's any other comments. I don't see Colin Comptroller. Thank you, Team AG, very much in this meeting. Andres and your team, Siyabonga Kakhulu, for this briefing. We will be in touch as we take this special forward once the committee has applied its mind, looking at it. And I suspect an oversight visit to some of the facilities will help us better understand the value chain which is at play insofar as these matters are concerned. Team AG, thank you very much for attendance at comprehensive briefing this morning on this matter. And as I said, it is a new matter on our radar as a community. So the patience to keep us through to highly appreciate it. Colleagues, thank you very much to you as well. The absence of any other hands to the team. Super team, as always, thank you. I would just want to ask the research team and content advisory to go back to this document and add further research to what we have and content so that we can be able to take it forward. Police, thank you very much. The meeting stands adjourned.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and thank you to AG.
Thank you, Chairman.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. Thank you, Honourable Member. Take care.
Thank you, all of us. Bye-bye.